This morning we're going to turn to God's Word and to spend some time looking at Psalm 67. If you turn with me to Psalm 67, we shall read this lovely psalm. It's a short psalm of just 7 verses, but you'll notice that the theme of the nations of the earth and the peoples of the earth run right through this lovely short psalm. Let's read this psalm together. Let's hear God's Word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. And we pray that the Lord will bless that reading from his word to our hearts this morning. Amen. And so apart from the opening and the ending verse of this short psalm, they all mention the nations or the peoples of the earth. It's a psalm of praise to God for his blessings, as well as a prayer to God that he will allow those blessings to flow through to the far ends of the earth, that all nations would praise him. Having been blessed, they want to see the nations of the earth also being blessed too, especially knowing his salvation. This psalm begins reflecting on the covenant with Abraham way back in Genesis, when God says to Abraham that he would take him to a land that he did not know, and he would make him into a great nation, and through him would bless all nations. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so this psalm reflects back to the promise that God made to Abraham that the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so God has promised, and this psalm picks up the fact that God has promised this, and in its praying asks that the nations of the earth would be blessed, that that work that is yet to be done would be completed, that promise to Abraham would be fulfilled, that through Abraham and his descendants, that the nations of the earth would know the salvation of God. A blessing is a gift from God that glorifies him and helps his people, and through his people reaches out to help and bless others who will also glorify him. The blessings that we receive are to be shared with those that we come into contact with. The more we know of the Lord and the more he blesses us, we are to share with the peoples around us. How good are we in sharing the blessings that we know from God? How good are we at telling people about what God has done for us? That's a challenge to us. But the blessings that God's people have is to be reflected to the people around them, that they too may glorify God. That's what the psalm is saying. May the peoples praise you, O Lord. May all the peoples praise you. But it begins by asking God to be gracious to us and bless us, that his ways may be known upon the earth. So as we receive God's blessing, we have a responsibility to share that blessing with others, to make them know what God is doing in our lives. And then they will say, I want to know the God who blesses people like that. I want to know the God who walks with his people in that way. I want to serve the God that these people are serving because he blesses them. He cares for them. He watches over them. He shines his face upon them and is gracious to them. How will the people of the earth know that unless we tell them? How will they begin to understand the God that we know and love unless we say something about the way in which he loves us and knows us to them? And so the prayer at the start of this psalm is that we might know God's blessing, that we may declare it to others, that they may come into the blessing of God themselves. So when was the last time you knew God to touch your life, and have you shared that with somebody? There's a challenge. What was the last thing that God has done for us that we have then shared with somebody else? It's so important that we remind ourselves of the blessings of the Lord, that God is there with us in our day-to-day living, helping us in practical ways, teaching us spiritual lessons that we can trust Him more and more. How is God blessing you? And are you sharing those blessings with the people around you? In Wales in the old days, I'm talking old days now, even before my grandfather's generation, they would have the Seat, as they would call it. It was the sharing meeting. And on a Sunday before the morning service would start, the people would come across the minister and the elders of the church, and they would go in and they would share what God was doing in their hearts and their lives, and they would just retell how God had blessed them over the past week. And so they would have these sharing meetings just to encourage one another that the Lord was actually teaching them from Sunday to Sunday, from week to week, and that they were recounting those blessings. It was a good habit to have. I'm wondering why they stopped, but maybe if the congregations grew so big they wouldn't be able to see everybody before the service start. They'd never get to the morning service because of the queues of people coming through. But that's what they used to do. They used to share with one another how God had blessed them in the week that had gone by. How has God blessed us this past week? And have we shared with anybody what God has done? Are we retelling people what God has been doing for us? A blessing is a gift from God that is to be shared with others to glorify Him. Not that we can say, aren't we special, but that we will say, don't we have a great God? So that others can say that I want Him to be my God too. So God blesses us that we may be a blessing to others. And this psalm shows how that unfolds. First things first then, the psalm starts with a prayer for God's favour. May God be gracious to us. In the Authorised Version it says, be merciful to us. If it wasn't for the graciousness of the Lord, we would have no hope. Unless the Lord shows mercy to us, we are distant from Him and we will remain distant from Him. But because of His graciousness towards us, He calls us to Himself. He brings us to Him face to face. He treats us not as we deserve to be treated, but out of His love for us, He allows us to approach Him. And the psalmist prays, may God be gracious to us and bless us. May we know that grace of the Lord that brings us into His presence. But more than that, make His face shine upon us and bless us. Forgiveness of sin is the first link in the chain of God's mercy towards us. Back in 2 Chronicles and chapter 7, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. It starts with humbling ourselves and confessing our sins. We need the graciousness of the Lord to cancel our debt, to forgive us our sins. Before we can seek His blessing, we need to know that we are right with God. And so this psalmist starts with that thought, that God may be gracious to us and bless us. Bless us in forgiving us, in cleansing us, in bringing us back into His presence. Forgiving us for the things that we haven't done that we should have done, and forgive us for the things that we have done that we ought not to have done. The thoughts, the deeds, the words, the actions. Asking God's forgiveness. The prayer is made to the gracious God by those who have felt their need of Him to forgive them and cleanse them and put them right in His presence. We have no hope but Him. Nothing to bring Him but our plea that He may be gracious to us. We are all the same. There is no one righteous, no, not one. We all need to start in coming into God's presence, asking that His graciousness would be reflected onto our lives, that we would know His forgiveness, that we may be brought into His presence and that to bless us. When we come into the presence of the Lord, He seeks to bless us. That's why He wants us to gather together. That's why He wants us to attend to His word. He wants to bless us. He wants us to know His love and His forgiveness and His cleansing and His help and His comfort and His support. That is the God that we serve. That is the God who calls us together to set aside time that we may find out more about this God who seeks to bless us. He doesn't want to drive us away, but he wants to draw us near to him. So the first things first is to know the graciousness of God towards us as individuals, to know his forgiveness and his cleansing, his salvation. And then this prayer goes on to ask God to bless people through them, to bless his own people first, that the Lord may be gracious to us and bless us and shine his face upon us, that his ways may be known on earth and his salvation among the nations of the earth. That his ways, his laws, his teachings may be known, and his salvation would be experienced personally by the other people around them. But just as we have followed God's teachings, others may follow those teachings. Just as we have personally known his forgiveness and his salvation, others would come to know that for themselves too. It is not a selfish faith that we have. It's a faith that wants to expand what we have to others and for others to come and know God in that same way. And so this prayer is adapted from the high priestly prayer in Numbers, the Aaronic blessing, as it's sometimes called. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. The Lord be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so, going back from Abraham, it goes on to the prayer of Aaron as the Lord is blessing his people, shining his face upon them and being gracious to them. And so you can see the psalmist bringing in the scriptures as he's praying to God. He's reflecting on what God has said and what God has promised, and he's bringing that into his prayer. And he's asking that the Lord's blessing will continue to rest upon them. The presence of the God was so important and vital to Israel. They needed to know the presence of the Lord with them. He was their strength. He was their joy. He was their portion. He was their inheritance. And it was important for them, even when they went through the wilderness years, that the glory of the Lord was made known to them by the cloud and the pillar of fire. Day and night, the presence of the Lord rested upon the camp as they travelled those 40 years in the wilderness. And they needed to know the Lord's presence with them through those years. And they looked for the presence of the Lord through those years. And if the Lord wasn't moving forward, they wouldn't move forward. And when the Lord did move forward, they went with him. It was vital for their well-being that the presence of the Lord was there for them. And this is what the psalm is asking for. That the Lord would bless and shine his face upon them, that they might know the presence of the Lord and the Lord's smile upon their lives. Are we asking for the Lord to smile upon our lives? What makes God smile upon our lives? It's a life that is lived in obedience to him, that follows his ways, that adheres to his teachings, that does the work that he has prepared for us to do. That's what brings a smile to God's face. And his approval and his blessing on our lives. So are we seeking the presence and the face of the Lord upon our lives? Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore honour God with your body." Why? Because God dwells within us. And when he dwells within us, he smiles upon us and his presence is with us. And so we don't want to distance ourselves from him. We want his smile. We want his approval. We want his blessing in our lives. Just like Israel were so keen in the wilderness years. And so this psalmist also asking that his face would shine upon them then. Are we looking for the Lord's blessing in our lives? Paul writes his second letter to the same church in Corinth and says, "God who said, 'Let his light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." He has shone his light into our hearts. May your face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth. Not so that I get a buzz out of that so much, but that others may come to know you because of what you are to me. Because of my experience of you, may others come to know and to trust you for themselves. He has shined his lights into our hearts in the face of Christ Jesus. So as we go about our day-to-day living, doing the work that God has prepared for us in advance to do, living godly lives in obedience to his teaching, serving him and serving one another, his glory within us should shine through us to the world around us. Just like Israel was to be a light and a blessing to others, so are we called to be the same. But ignorance today of God is great. It's very interesting, if you watch any of the quiz shows on the TV, if they really want to catch somebody out, they'll ask them a Bible question. They'll bring in the Bible questions, and people's ignorance is just so obvious today. They don't know God or his word. They don't understand what God is about. Ignorance is great today. And how will they know who our God is unless we as his people are declaring the praises of God by the way in which we live, by the way in which we go about our day-to-day business? Are we shining our light into the world of darkness around us? Is God being revealed through the way in which we are living, through the way in which we speak to people, from our actions, from the very things that we do? So often our actions can speak louder than our words. Do the people around us benefit from the fact that we are trying to serve God in the things that we do from day to day, to please him and have his face shine upon us? Are we declaring God to be real and true to the people around us? Will others come to know his salvation because of how we have lived out our lives? The people pray that God's blessing will be upon them. And then the nations of the earth will bless the Lord. And this is the prayer of the psalmist. This is what the achievement of the psalmist is all about. That the nations will praise God. That other people who have yet to know and to follow him will come to follow him as well. The focus here is on the Gentile nations praising the Lord, the God of Israel. The peoples of the earth have dethroned God and want nothing of his ways. God is not in control as far as they're concerned, and they don't want him to be in control. They want to go their own ways. But the day will come when the nations of the earth will worship the true and the living God. Regardless of how they have acted, regardless of what they have chosen to do for themselves, God's promise to Abraham will be fulfilled, that the nations of the earth will bless him. That is a promise that we can stand on. And no matter how difficult the gospel may be to take to different nations, the gospel will be taken and the nations will receive it, because God has promised so. What a wonderful promise that we have. That we've already got the victory on our side before we've started. There are some things that we face in life and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But the one thing that we have in our Christian faith is to know that the victory is already ours. That the gospel will be made known to the nations of the earth, and the nations of the earth will respond. And so it's not a hopeless endeavour. It may be a hard endeavour. We may not see it in our lifetime. But we can be a part of the work of what God is doing to bring the gospel to the nations of the earth. Back in Isaiah chapter 2, it says, many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. What a wonderful vision that Isaiah had there. That the peoples of the world will say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Let us follow his ways. Let us adhere to his teachings. And so the psalmist cries out, may the peoples praise you, O Lord. May the peoples praise you. When will this happen? When Jesus establishes his kingdom. When he judges the people with justice and he guides or shepherds the nations in the ways of the Lord. The nations are doing as they please today, but that will change when the kingdoms of this world belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Revelation chapter 11 points towards that day. The seventh angel shall sound his trumpet, and there is a loud voice in heaven which says, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." That day is coming. That day is promised, and that day has already been seen from eternity. This, then, is what the people are praying for in this psalm. And this should be our prayer too, that the nations of the earth will glorify God and trust him. And what's the result of this? Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. There is a promised harvest for those whose lives are obedient to the Lord. There is a promised provision for those who trust the Lord. This is a quotation from Leviticus 26, a chapter that summarizes God's covenant with Israel. God made it clear that his blessing on the land depended on his people's obedience to the law, that as they fulfilled God's laws, so he would bless them and he would provide for them. The blessing he would send would be a witness to the nations around them that he, the only true and living God, will supply the needs for his people. This would give the Jewish communities opportunity to share God's truth with them, that they serve the living God, not the gods who have eyes and can't see, or the gods who have ears but cannot hear, but they serve the true and the living God who watches over them and provides for them. But God warned them that if they disobeyed, he would withhold the rain, and their fields would be empty, there would be no harvest, and this would bring them shame in the eyes of the nations. Why would the nations of the world want to follow a God who doesn't care for his people, who doesn't give them food to eat and crops in their field to provide an income for them? Why would they want to turn and serve that kind of God? So God says, "Walk in my ways, and I will make sure that your crops don't fail, and I will provide for you." And this itself will be a witness and a testimony to the living God. The application for us as church people today is that as we obey the Lord and we pray and we trust him, he will continue to provide what we need, and the people around us will see that he cares for us. That as he blesses us, we make those blessings known. When Kath and I moved up to Scotland and we joined OMF to care for the Scottish OMF family here, we gave up our work in Wales. Kath was a full-time teacher, I was a full-time pastor. And we knew that we would be on a very different living allowance from two wages coming in every week. And in those days, OMF used to give us our remittance, as it's called, every 3 months. And so you'd get a cheque, and that was your next income for the coming 3 months, and the next one would follow in 3 months' time. So when the first cheque arrived, we looked at it and we just laughed, because it was less than what Kath brought home every month herself as a teacher, let alone the other two cheques that she would have had and my three cheques together with them. And so we looked at this and we just laughed and we said, well, we knew it was going to be different. We didn't know it was going to be this different. But the Lord had brought us into the work, and we were sure that if he knew where he was bringing us, he would care and provide for us. And that was a very interesting year, because what we didn't know was that OMF had miscalculated the allowance for us. And they'd forgotten the fact that we had four children. And so they gave us what was acceptable for a married couple, minus the four children. But we didn't know that. And because in OMF we never talk about money, we didn't raise it with them. And we just lived as what the Lord had given us through what OMF had provided. But you know what? It was one of the most wonderful years that we ever had. Because as we look back, we can see how the Lord met our needs day after day, week after week. Every time we went shopping, by the time we got back to the house, there were carrier bags on the doorstep from another supermarket that somebody else had been shopping for. And things that I'd said to Kath, "Can we put that in the trolley?" "No, put that back. We can't have that this time. We'll get that another time." And when we got back home, the things that I was trying to put in the trolley were on the doorstep waiting for us. And it was like as if there was an angel watching what we were trying to do and sorting it out in another supermarket. And managed to get there before we got back home as well. We never found out who did it, but the minute that OMF realised the mistake and they put it right, the carrier bag stopped. Didn't need them anymore. But the Lord knew what we needed. The first time we were going back to Wales to do some deputation, it was coming to the end of the 3 months, and we realised that there wasn't any money in the bank left to put petrol in the car to get back down to Wales. But the next cheque would have arrived before we left Wales to come back to Scotland. And so coming back was easy, but going down was almost impossible. And so as I was putting the hoover along the passage in the house there in Glasgow, I was telling the Lord just how it was difficult to even think about leaving tomorrow, because we had meetings arranged for the Sunday and the following week down in Wales, but we didn't have the needs to get there. And so what was he going to do? Because we couldn't let the people down. The kids were looking forward to going back to seeing their grandparents. What were we going to do? Because we didn't have the money to put in the car. And as I opened the door to put the cleaner over the mat in the hallway, there was an envelope on the floor, and the only thing on the envelope says, "For your journey to Wales." And inside, a £50 note to say, to cover the cost of your petrol. That's all we needed. And that's all that the Lord had put on the mat. And so I'm one side of the door saying to the Lord what I need, and he's already the other side of the door with what I need waiting. It was such a wonderful thing to be able to share with others that God today, in this day and age, can still meet the needs of his people and provide for the things that we think are beyond our attempt to put things right. We can't do it ourselves, but God can. And his blessings are to be shared, because that is the God that we serve today. So often we read biographies of missionaries in the days gone by, and they can thrill our hearts. And I guess as a child who grew up loving missionary stories, seeing how God can actually put those same lessons and principles into practice today was such an encouragement for us, that when OMF said, we want to apologise, I said, please don't apologise. This has been such a great year for us, proving God to be the faithful God who knows our needs. And then no longer seeing the provisions that we no longer needed, because obviously there's somebody else in need and the Lord is meeting their needs now. Just a wonderful example of what God can do in the lives of people today. I remember being a pastor down in Wales, and one of our young ladies in the church who had a very difficult background, she had 4 children, husband's not saved, and she had come to faith, and she really struggled, and he lost his job, and she just had a part-time cleaning job. And she knocked the door one day and she said, "You can have this back." And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You can have it back." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." She said, "This envelope has arrived for the door," she said, and in it is £100, and it says on the front of the envelope, "As from the Lord." "Well, you're the minister, so it must be you." I said, "I'm sorry, but I am not the Lord, I'm just the minister." And she said, "But it's only you could put that through my door." I said, "I have no idea who put that through your door." She said, "Well, my husband came in from being out," and she said, it wasn't there when he left, and when he came back, so it was between 7 and 9 o'clock this morning. I said, "I wasn't even out of the street between 7 and 9 o'clock this morning." She said, "I want you to have it back." I said, "It's not mine to take back." I said, "Do you need £100? She said, "It's to the penny of what we have to pay today." I said, "Well, there we are. The Lord knows what you need." She said, "It doesn't happen to me, though." She said, "It happens to other people." I said, "Correction, it hasn't happened yet to you. But today's the day it did. Please take it back and say thank you to the Lord when you pray to him today." So off she went. A year later, she came knocking at the door. She said, "Look," she said, "it's the same handwriting." And I said, "And it's the same Lord. The same Lord." And she said, "How does he know that I need it?" I said, "Because he knows everything. He knows everything." It's great when we see God working in people's lives, blessing them. But do you know, don't keep those blessings to yourself. Share them with others, because that's when people will know the God that we trust. And he's alive today. There's ignorance of who he is because they have not been made aware that he is still alive and still at work. And you can't disprove what God is doing. You may not understand what he's doing, but you can't disprove that God is at work doing these things today as he has done before, and we can trust him to continue to do in the days to come. He provides what we need so that the people around us will know that he's alive. He will meet our every need. This gives us opportunity to tell people about Jesus, tells of the harvest, and God will yield a harvest and will bless us. But you know, it's not just a physical harvest, it's a spiritual harvest as well. The harvest of souls, that the nations of the earth will praise you. And we want to see souls being saved for the kingdom. And that again starts with us. It starts with us because the Bible goes on to talk about the fact. Jesus said, "It is my food to do the will of him who sent me to finish his work." Jesus' nourishment was to do God's work. That's where he got his strength from, to do God's work. He was nourished through working for the Lord. And then he says, 4 months more and then the harvest, I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. There are souls waiting to be saved today, here, in the towns and the cities of Scotland, but also amongst the nations of the earth. There are souls that are ripe for harvest. Who's reaching them? Who's sharing the blessings of the Lord in our lives with them, that they might know that those blessings can be theirs too? But it starts with us, because the Bible goes on to tell us that we are to produce a spiritual harvest in our own lives. We are to see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our own lives. What kind of a harvest have you had in terms of the fruit of the Spirit this year? How's your love been growing? How has your joy been growing? How has your peace been growing? How has your patience been growing? Your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, and your self-control. Are you seeing a spiritual fruit, a crop of spiritual gifts growing and developing in your lives? This fruit of the Spirit, is it more evident now than it was in January? Or have we got to do a little bit more work so that by the end of the year we can look back and say, yes, the Lord has taught me in my love, in my joy, in my peace, in my patience, in my kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, how to develop in these things. Because as I bring forth a fruit, it becomes aware to others that God is working in me and he can work in them. If there's no harvest in our own hearts, how can we expect a harvest in the hearts of those around us? If we are not growing and bearing fruit, why would we be able to see fruit growing and being brought forth in other people's lives? And so the challenge to us as we come to the end of this psalm this morning is, what kind of a harvest am I producing? As I pray for the nations of the earth and as I ask God to bless the people around me, what kind of harvest is there in my life? Because God says he does bring forth a harvest. When there's obedience, when there's an adherence to his teachings and his ways, then the land will yield its harvest and God will bless us and the nations of the earth will fear him. So as we pray for the nations of the earth, let's be careful that our lives have the smile of the Lord upon them and that we're producing a spiritual harvest in our own hearts and that we will long to see that harvest repeated in the hearts and the lives of those around us. We may have plenty of food on our tables, but what kind of spiritual feast are we having? Are we barren? Is it a drought? Or is there an abundance of blessings from God as we feed on his word and it changes our lives to become more and more like that of the Lord Jesus Christ? May we, next time we meet, be more like Jesus and have that fruit growing in our hearts and that desire that there would be a harvest around us too, until the nations of the earth will fear him and his promise to Abraham is completed. May God then bless and challenge us from his word this morning. Amen.